Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
Yes, reality TV may seem like a constant fixture on our screens these days, whether it be Love Island, Selling Sunset or Traitors. That hit track there, Pure and Simple, that was, of course, Hearsay, the pop product of pop stars way back in 2001. And back then, reality TV really seemed like somewhat of a novelty. Tanya Sweeney, columnist with the Irish Independent, joins me on the line. Now, Tanya, you were looking back at some reality TV from 2001, and I think it's safe to say that you weren't too impressed.
I was not impressed at all. Yes, I took my time travel machine and went all the way back to... I mean, do you remember Pop Stars at all from 2001? Or Pop Stars The Rivals, which came a year later. But what happened was somebody on Twitter/X put up a thread of clips from the very first one of these series. You know, it kind of was a preemptive or a prototype, I suppose, of like, you know, the X Factor and Pop Idol, you know. But it was incredibly, shall we say, homespun, very low kind of production values, quite organic, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And basically the judges at this point were Nigel Lithgow, Paul Adam from Polydor and Nicky Chapman, who'd just been working with the Spice Girls.
I remember Nasty Nigel. This is before we had Simon Cowell even. Yes.
He was absolutely the first of his kind. Mm-hmm. Of course, he and Simon worked together later, you know, and formed a double-headed hydra of nastiness, we'll say. But yeah, so basically the clips that came up on Twitter was of, you know, it was kind of just amazing to watch them. There was a girl called Claire, who I remember watching this the first time round. She was Scottish. She easily had the best voice in the competition.
Mm-hmm.
She was plus size. She had a fantastic personality. She was able to dance. And yet the three judges were like, she doesn't look like a pop star. Obviously, this was very, you know, pre the days of Adele and Lizzo and all that.
But yeah,
they were just sitting there going, no, this is never going to happen for you, you know. Mm-hmm. There were other clips in which a 30-year-old was called out for being too old, as if she was about to collect the state pension.
Yikes.
And then, I mean, the one that I think is causing a bit of traction online is Nigel Lithgow goes to Kim Marsh. Now, we know who Kim Marsh is. She obviously, you know, joined this eventual band.
Yeah, Hearsay,
And it was post-Christmas, and he was like, you know, the goose has gotten fat. And he was like, I think you actually needed to lose weight beforehand. Now, Kim was very, you know, kind of regular size.
She was a size 10, and she had two kids at this stage as well.
Exactly. And then there was another thing where they pulled her in because she'd kept her two children a secret. And again, it was all just so very, you know, high drama, and she thought she was like, it was like she was on trial for, you know, murder.
Yeah.
Horrific.
And Tanya, do you remember watching that at the time? Because I remember thinking, oh my God, I can't believe he mentioned her weight. But I was actually more mortified for her. Not that I was that outraged that he said it, because I was kind of like, this is kind of part of the territory if you want to be a pop star. You know, this is the land of Britney Spears.
Exactly. I mean, this is, I think, what's so interesting about watching it in the year 2024. I mean, so much has obviously happened in terms of body positivity, in terms of feminism. You know, we've called out misogyny, we've called out sizeism, we're calling out ageism, racism, you know. And to go back in time, I suppose, to 2001, where we haven't done any of that. And I think it's starting to have a conversation about how internalized misogyny was just baked into the norm for all of us. So like that, Karen, I would have watched Pop Stars, you know, in real time going, well, maybe she did get a bit fat, did she? And, you know, instead of going, how very dare you, that is atrocious.
Yeah.
I kind of went, well, you know, I like that. You know, this is what you have to do to be a pop star. You have to look like Britney Spears. And, you know, and I think just that, the whole thing just could sort of set me off thinking about, first off, how reality TV in its earliest iterations were actually, you know, quite casually cruel to the participants.
Absolutely.
You know,
that interaction is interesting as well, because Mylene Klass kind of proves that she's well ahead of her time, doesn't she, in the series back in 2001?
She does. Now, she basically said, look, crash diets are nonsense. They don't need the extra pressure as contestants on this show, and let's do it sensibly. Meanwhile, Nigel Lithgow is looking at her like she, you know, got three heads, you know.
Yeah.
And it was so interesting because, I mean, we obviously see that now as a very balanced and straightforward approach. But back then it was sort of like, you know, she was a bit of a troublemaker for kind of stirring the pot.
Yeah. It's like, shut up, Mylene, you won't get into the band. Come on, Nadine is going to be out because of the birth date thing. Like, watch your back. I have to say, though, do you find as a journalist, as a columnist, I feel in my years as a showbiz reporter, I was asking questions back in those days when I was 22 that I am mortified I ever asked now when I look at it through the lens of 2024. I don't know, would you ever feel that about stuff that you would have written?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, first off, I wrote a lot of stuff in glossy women's magazines about dieting. I remember like counting out the calories of, you know, a handful of Maltesers and how much hoovering you would have to do to burn that off.
Oh,
I mean,
geez.
The fact that I wrote that, it makes me just want to, it makes my soul want to leave my body. I'll tell you that, you know. But that was kind of what was asked of you at the time.
We were like little trad wives. Offset your calorie intake by housework and have the house immaculate for the husband.
Literally.
Oh my God, it's mad. It's not even that long ago.
I know. And the other big one was, you know, how do you juggle your life and children?
Yeah.
I can't believe I asked that of people, and I asked it a lot, you know. But again, it was what the appetite, you know, demanded at the time. And these were sort of, this was not considered outrageous questions. I mean, right now you kind of go, how do you think I juggle everything, you know?
Mm.
Like, but at the time, but yeah, there was a lot of kind of, you know, what's the word, you know, speculation on weight and bloating.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you remember, like Heat magazine and the circle of shame and all
the
that.
The cellulite,
I mean,
being pointed out on thighs. Yeah, it was
it was
endless. So because we do look at the world in a different way, have we sort of tired of reality TV? I mean, the viewing figures kind of reflect that we just aren't tuning in like we used to. Are we kind of done with it?
I don't know if we're done with it as such. I mean, there's definitely going to be a diehard cohort of people who will just absolutely be bet into Love Island and The Real Housewives, and that is their jam. It's their guilty pleasure. They'll always find an audience. But what's interesting is that the contestants are now a bit more empowered. They will call stuff out right away. I mean, if you think of like Maura Higgins on Love Island, I mean, as soon as somebody on camera, you know, even gave her a side eye, she was like, "What? Yeah." And that's what I think. What made pop stars so interesting is they were really under the cosh, and yet they were at a loss as to how to really handle it properly. You know, it's so striking to see the difference between the two.
Yeah, absolutely. But we do have to be grateful that pop stars did give us the banger that is pure and simple. So, I mean, we got to be grateful. Tanya Sweeney, columnist with the Irish Independent. Lovely to talk to you today. Thanks so much for joining me on the line.
Thanks, Karen.
Now, if listening to Tanya there has triggered your memory and has brought you right back to 2001 and watching Pop Stars on ITV, you will remember this bit. This is when Judge Nasty Nigel Lithgow told Kim Marsh that she had to drop some lbs.
You are going on show. You need to lose some weight. You are going on show in 6 weeks from now. 6 weeks. And I want you looking the best and feeling the best you can. It's all right, saying all Christmas was there and, well, the goose has gotten fat.
Do you think I'm fat?
I think you've put weight on over Christmas, and I think you needed to lose weight before Christmas, yeah?
Do you? Out of order.
Yes, you are bang out of order, Nigel Lithgow. You were then and you are now. Imagine telling a mum of two young children and a size 10 that you have to lose weight. Oh my God, very different to listening back to that in 2024. Joining me on the line now is CEO and founder of Moxie Loves, Pamela Laird. Now, Pamela, you know all about this because you viewed behind the curtain. I remember watching you in 2019. You, of course, made it through to the BBC's Apprentice. Tell me, what was that experience like for you?
Yes, I did. Oh God. I mean, it's funny to talk about reality TV because I'll never watch it the same. Mm-hmm. I think experiencing it, kind of when you've got your real life on the line, so you're there representing you and your business, and then you've got this kind of second side, which is, okay, well, it has to be entertaining. I mean, no one wants to see 16 successful business people, you know, sail through every task. So I think I definitely gained an understanding of what was necessary for the show. But then it's really difficult because, you know, you want to win the £250,000 and it's real for you. But you've got producers pulling strings. And I think the one thing I realized was if they see something going wrong, they'll just make it go really wrong and lean into that and make it nearly impossible for you to kind of pull it back. So, a lot of lessons learned there, but I'll never watch reality TV the same again, unfortunately.
So do you think they're willing you on to kind of sabotage yourself because that's what makes for car crash TV?
For sure. Look, I think we all love the entertaining shows where, you know, people make a royal failure of something that looks very straightforward. But then one thing that a producer told me when I was filming, I was thinking like, you know, very stressed out about whatever task it was. And he said, look, every episode is a story. For example, The Apprentice, of who gets fired. Or if you like, on Love Island, every episode will be a story about who might go home that day. So what makes it to the edit and what way they have to structure the storyline for viewers to stay tuned, I guess, is it's just like they're puppeteers, really. So they definitely control the narrative to a point.
Were you satisfied? Like, were you happy with how you were portrayed when it was all edited back? Did you look back and go, yeah, no, that's me. That is Pamela.
For sure. Like, they didn't get me to say anything fully that I would never say. Now, of course, there were things that I probably naturally wouldn't say if I wasn't being filmed. I'd probably put it in my WhatsApp group, or I would tell somebody else out of the situation. But they kind of want you to narrate how you're feeling at every moment, which is not a very natural thing to do. So I can look back and say, look, that was facts. Like, I called out people when they were wrong. You know, having said that, I made huge mistakes that didn't make the edit. And was I delighted with that? Absolutely. So, like, it goes both ways.
And did you feel any pressure on how you looked? I mean, could you imagine Lord Sugar saying that to you? Pamela, you know, we love the product, but you just need to drop a little bit of weight.
I mean, I can't even, when I think about that, you know, even if I think about X Factor, like the over 25s, you know, yes. Like, oh, what judge is going to get that horrible category?
The elderly group. Oh my God, I'd forgotten about
that. Elderly. I know, it's terrible. I was thinking about it recently because I was looking at some of the new apprentice candidates and how young they were. And a lot of people on Twitter were saying, like, you know, we want some mature candidates. But it's funny because then you've got people critiquing their appearance, or, you know, and I think obviously younger people, you're probably naturally slimmer, better looking when you're younger. So it's easier. But I have to say, I did feel a bit of pressure, like, especially, you know, you're on camera, you're stressed, it's 4 o'clock in the morning, you want to have makeup on, you want to look your best at all times. So no, not that Lord Sugar was ever going to say anything like that to me. I knew that that wasn't going to be said, but I definitely felt it because you think of Twitter, you think of social media, you think about how people are watching it live and live tweeting along with it and what they say. So yeah, there's definitely pressure there, but nothing compared to the early days of reality TV.
Yeah, we have a text in from a listener this morning saying about nasty Nigel Lithgow. Nigel himself might not be on our screens anymore, but what are the criteria for Love Island contestants? Nigels and Nigellas choose these people based on their body type, and we're all Nigels for watching it, are we not? No. Very interesting there. Thank you, Brian, for that text. Also joining me on the line is Donegal native Eric Roberts. Eric, you took part in Squid Game, the challenge. You were on Netflix, of course, the reality TV show. Do you think there's still an appetite for reality TV? Is that why you appeared on Squid Game?
I think it's definitely still an acquired taste. I suppose it's a lot more polished and produced now in terms of production than it was years ago in the early days of 2001 and stuff. And I think that's what enticed people to watch it in the early days. It was real zero to hero stories. Mm. You felt like anyone could be there, and it was a chance at stardom. Whereas today, the likes of Love Island, I suppose, with all the controversy that's surrounded it for so many years, they have to be so, so careful now with who they are bringing in. And even for myself, my experience, although it was extremely difficult, one of the hardest things I've ever done, when I came out of there, there was therapy sessions set up, and everyone made sure your mental health was as it should be. So I think they're very careful now with what they do. The likes of Nigel wouldn't get near a show anymore. Do you know what I mean? They have to make sure the contestants are all looked after. But I think there is still a huge interest around us, and again, I think it's that the thought process that anyone could go on these shows and change their life and become a star and win lots of money. So it's still appealing to, I suppose, a big crowd of people.
You don't think we've gotten too cynical? Because do you remember the old days of, like, Big Brother, and they were just like these massive audition processes, and people were kind of, you know, sending in VHS tapes nearly, like, back in the day. But, like, the likes of you were kind of, you were spotted and then cast in the show, weren't you?
I was, in a sense. One of the cast and directors had followed me online, and he enjoyed the content, and he asked me to apply. Now, it didn't really give me a leg up on the competition. I was still put into a pool of maybe 100,000 people.
Wow.
He just kind of put my name forward, and I think I might have skipped maybe two interviews, and I went directly to Zooms. But even at that, it was still around a 6-month process of talking to cast directors and producers. And it's a very strenuous kind of process to even get narrowed down to be on the show. But as I say, yeah, I think it's quite similar for all shows. It's never a case of where it looks like you've just walked in off the street. Like, I suppose Britain's Got Talent and I might audition. It's always about a year long process to even try and get on these shows in the first place.
Wow. And did you enjoy the process? I mean, you've said it's one of the toughest things that you've ever done. Was it worth it? Because you're kind of sleep deprived as well, weren't you, when you were taking part in Squid Game?
I mean, Squid Game was totally immersive. It wasn't really produced at all. We were locked away in this dormitory, 200 plus, all sleeping in the one room. We didn't see daylight at times. We were only fed white rice. Sometimes we weren't allowed to use the bathroom or brush our teeth. Like, we were wearing the same clothes for a couple of weeks. It was totally submersive.
Sorry,
and really,
torture,
really
Eric.
Difficult.
You talk about duty of care. That sounds horrendous.
I mean, but that's what we signed up for at the end of the day. They wanted to make it as immersive an experience as they could. So we didn't really come in contact with any film crews or anything. It was just hundreds of Big Brother-style cameras, I suppose, around the dorms. And we were left to our own devices and had to make our game plans and how we would survive. But that's a very intense show. That can't be compared to the likes of Big Brother or Love Island and stuff like that. We knew what we were signing up for, and that's why it was the biggest prize pool on any reality television show. Would I do it again? Absolutely not. The hardest part was probably living with 200 Americans for 2 weeks. That was very, very tough.
Were you well paid for your time, for all that endurance that you had to go through?
So there was no payment whatsoever. Now, what I will say is I was in a lucky position in that I kind of had a platform to build already. And I suppose it paid dividends after that, being on a huge reality show. Even though I got quite little airtime, I was one of the only Irish contestants on it. So it definitely helped with work in terms of the career that I'm in already. But I know there's a few people that maybe would have taken time off and flown over from America and Australia.
Yikes.
And they would have been there for a couple of days. And I suppose it's one of the biggest regrets they have, is doing the show, because it was torturous and it didn't really help them or benefit them in any way, shape or form. And that's the danger of reality television. It could make or break you at times. Do you know what I mean? I'm quite grateful I didn't get a huge amount of airtime, because if I did, I might have made an arse of myself. You know what I mean? So these are the kind of things you have to keep in mind when you're signing up.
Well, I think that's the thing. It's do you say something and do you get cancelled? Because in The Apprentice, Pamela, sometimes people just have shot themselves in the foot, and it hasn't been sort of the vehicle for their profile that perhaps they'd envisaged.
Oh, totally. And for me, one of the weeks actually that, you know, I said something in passing like, oh, we won't have a boy as sub-team leader. And oh my God, it was the year. I mean, if I said that a year later, if I said that today, I'd be, you know, heroed. At the time, it was like I was the most sexist person, and how dare I, you know, signal out a man like that. And it was just, I actually was really upset about it. I was trolled on Twitter. I had like previous contestants mention me. And the same thing happened to people on my season. Like, people were really not happy with how they were portrayed, and a lot of times really suffered from it. And it has been their biggest regret appearing on it because of the backlash they got. So, I mean, it's just a huge risk to put yourself out there, and it doesn't always work out.
Yeah, absolutely. Was it good for your business though, Pamela?
Oh, 100%. Okay. And my profile as a business person, the brand, like, we launched into the UK straight after. So it was amazing for me. I was quite conscious that I had a consumer-facing brand when I went on the show.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, okay, I really don't want to be that person that gets cancelled. I mean, I did get cancelled in week three, but reality TV moves so quickly that literally the week after, someone else was the villain.
Yeah.
So it was absolutely fine. Things move pretty quick, but at the same time, yeah, it can be a risk, but I would do it again 100%.
Fair play to you. Texarin says, reality TV has had its ups and downs. The early days were brilliant, and the more modern shows like Traitors are brilliant again, but there have been plenty of duds in between though. Guys, thank you so much for joining me on the show today, Pamela and Eric and Tanya. Great to talk to you this afternoon about all things reality.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.